court will hear arguments first this morning in Puerto Rico Associates against Tourism Company of Puerto Rico. Ms. Soto, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. This case presents a substantial question whether a statute of Puerto Rico violates the First, Fifth, and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution because it completely bans a franchise holder, a casino franchise holder, from advertising or otherwise offering its facilities to the public of Puerto Rico. Without abandoning our Fifth and 14th Amendment attacks on Section 8 of the Games of Chance Act of Puerto Rico, we have chosen to limit our argument to the First Amendment protection extended to truthful information about illegal activity and rely on our briefs for the remaining valid grounds, although in our minds, after living through the overextensive application that Puerto Rico has given to the statute, we cannot characterize this ban as strictly commercial speech. The overbreadth and vagueness of the ban at bridges and has a bridge in the past, as the record shows, fully protected speech and public debate speech. Neither can we accept as valid the classifications, suspect classifications, of a casino speech ban versus the public forum availability open to other gaming activities in Puerto Rico, nor the resident versus non-resident classification that the judgment below added to the original controversy. However, argument on the First Amendment content-based classification of the Act should persuade the court to hold that casino advertising is protected by the United States Constitution and that all truthful information about this legal activity cannot be blocked by Puerto Rico in an effort to keep its people uninformed as an overextensive means of controlling, through speech, the activity of gambling. The best example of the dangers inherent in overbroad prohibitions of speech containing no guidelines of enforcement for the government are given by the facts of this case. Section 8 of the statute reads, "No gambling room shall be permitted to advertise or otherwise offer its facilities in any manner whatsoever to the public in Puerto Rico." In 30 years of enforcement, the government never defined what constituted advertising, nor who was the public. Neither did it clarify whether in Puerto Rico included the tourist once he or she landed in Puerto Rico.
Ms. Soto, didn't the Superior Court judge substantially restrict the literal language of the statute when he interpreted it?
Yes, it did, Your Honor, but it did not cure the unconstitutionality of the statute, as we will argue.
Well, what's left of the statute now? Is it just the prohibition against advertising in the media within Puerto Rico itself?
The statute as construed still prohibits completely all information if it's addressed to the residents of Puerto Rico. And therefore, it is still a complete ban of truthful information about illegal business to the residents of Puerto Rico and thus unconstitutional in our view, as construed.
Well, is it media advertising that it now covers as the court below has construed it?
Well, Your Honor,
what if a matchbook with the name of the casino came into the hands of a resident of Puerto Rico? Is that somehow prohibited now? Is that your understanding?
According to what the judge decided, if it was aimed at the tourist, it would not be prohibited. The problem is that the determination of, as to what the intent is would have to be based on content each time that an advertisement or information about a casino is comes across. And for instance, we brought to this court's attention a case whereby even under the court's construction now, as recently as after this court had granted jurisdiction to hear this case, a supplement that was published with information about the casino activities upon the opening of a second hotel, the El San Juan Hotel, that merely covered the facilities that were open to the public, one page out of 52 that covered all the other facilities of the hotel, was considered by the government as casino advertising, and something that they had not done before. They did not fine us this time, but they said that the case was being turned over for investigation for criminal prosecution. Now, this statute is a criminal statute, and this was a supplement by an article by the newspaper. It was not an ad placed as the judge had directed, and still it's being considered as advertising to Puerto Rico. So an example that as of today, we still have the same problem.
Isn't your First Amendment argument the same, though, whether the statute distinguishes between ads aimed at tourists and ads aimed at Puerto Ricans? I mean, if the suppose the statute forbade all ads about the casinos.
That's what it does. We understand that it's still an absolute prohibition.
It doesn't ban ads aimed at tourists.
As the court rewrote it, which we understand is what the court did, and it is impermissible in our view, it would establish a classification then that I think is also impermissible of residents versus non-residents. Yes.
Well, I have you interrupted. Your general submission is that the First Amendment requires or forbids stopping any ads about any legal business.
If it's an absolute ban and it leaves no channels open of communications to the residents of Puerto Rico in this case, and the activity is legal, we understand that unless there is a substantial interest by the government, which has not been proven in this case, it is unconstitutional.
Well,
yes.
What if, would you say it would be unconstitutional for Puerto Rico to say, well, if you want to advertise casinos, be sure at the bottom, say, this may be dangerous to your pocketbook.
We have no quarrel whatsoever, Justice White, on having more speech added if we have to, rather than silencing and keeping the people uninformed altogether as a means.
Under your argument, would it be unconstitutional if Congress forbade all advertising of cigarettes?
In the case of cigarettes, I find a substantial distinction in that
It's not illegal to smoke.
It is not illegal to smoke.
It's not illegal to manufacture cigarettes.
That is correct, Your Honor. However,
why under your argument would a complete ban on cigarette advertising be bad or good?
I haven't said that it's good. I think it probably would pass constitutional muster because the first puff is harmful to your health, according to studies. In the case of gaming is a social entertainment, and there is no link whatsoever that it causes a deleterious effect in older people. It may cause gamble excessively.
Don't you think that Puerto Rico could prohibit gambling altogether and make it illegal because Puerto Rico could determine that it's bad for the citizens?
Yes, I do, Your Honor. Justice O'Connor, I do think they can prohibit it together, but having legalized it and having other means available already in the Act that are effective, I don't think they can, through speech,
suppose you have a state like Alaska that has legalized the use of marijuana, personal use of marijuana. Do you think Alaska can prohibit all advertising of marijuana?
I think once having legalized it, I am not familiar with the case of the marijuana statute in Alaska, but once having legalized it, I think it can be restricted through a means and manners restriction. I think it can be added more speech as to the effects so as to keep the people educated of how they should not be using it, but I don't think they should be able to prohibit it altogether either, no.
May I?
Ads about cigarettes, smoking, as long as smoking is legal.
As long as smoking is legal, what my position is that since it is inherently dangerous to health, it might be possible to ban it.
What about marijuana?
That would be the same thing with marijuana in that case then. We can make that analogy, but it's not the same thing with gambling. And that is our proposition. Gambling has not been proven to be deleterious per se. It is not inherently dangerous. It is simply a leisure entertainment activity for most of the people, a social, fun thing to do. And to some people, it may be, if it's excessive, cause some harm, but that is not the general proposition here. And if we extend, so many other things could be harmful. There are so many kinds of serogenous things now that causes cancer. Could they all be prohibited then? I think in the absence of a substantial interest a ban on speech is not the narrowest mean to obtain that that end.
May I ask this question? Publications in the United States, magazines and newspapers, do circulate in Puerto Rico, don't they?
Yes, they do.
New York Times, Time, Newsweek, and so forth.
Yes.
Does the statute ban, would the statute ban your casino from advertising in those publications?
The statute did ban all kinds of media. The way it was construed by the court, it would allow it if it's published in the States and it comes through into Puerto Rico, as construed by the judicial branch.
Under the construction of the Superior Court, your client could run ads in publications in the United States that were circulated in Puerto Rico.
Yes, under the construction of the court.
Otherwise,
yes.
The ban is limited to local media.
Correct, mm-hmm. Under the construction. Now, the facts of this case are clearly you are familiar with it, but to go briefly through them, Posadas was fined for the first time when a supplement was published in the San Juan Star, an article about annexing the Laguna Wing to its already facilities. And there was an ad placed by our union, our casino union, that contained no message about promoting the casino, but that included the word casino as its trade name and a little drawing about a roulette in the background. Tourism understood that was casino advertising, and it warned the tourism warned Posadas that it was violating the law. Because it did not get a reply from Posadas, a fine was imposed on the company. This interpretation was immediately challenged by Posadas, but while a ruling was pending, the gaming director wrote a letter to the president then that was stationed in Missouri informing about the violations in the operations in Puerto Rico. The president was quick to answer, but used a stationery that had the word casino on it. And since the government understood that a word casino on a letterhead is also advertising, a second fine was imposed on Posadas. The third fine was imposed after the ruling came out and the ruling was upholding an absolute ban on speech. And because one of the guests that was staying in the hotel had a brochure that was left in his room and was handing it at the lobby, which was a public facility, to the government inspector. And they thought that was casino advertising also. And that was the third fine that was imposed on Posadas. And the fourth fine really was a public debate issue where the president was holding a press conference and photographic session to protest legislation that proposed to ban the slot machines from Puerto Rico.
Ms. Soto, were all four of these instances after the Superior Court judge issued his ruling?
Yes, Your Honor, they were all there.
And are they all, in the views of your opponent, so far as you know, consistent with the Superior Court judge's ruling?
Yes. As a result of these four fines, Posada's reputation was tainted to the extreme that a sister operation in Atlantic City was recommended denial of a casino license because the gaming enforcement division of that jurisdiction understood that Posadas was an unsuitable operator. At that point, declaratory judgment was sought. At that initial stage, on paragraph 9 of the complaint, the three challenges to the First, 14th Amendment, and due process were brought up at that initial level. In the case of the due process, we did not specify whether it was the Fifth or the 14th Amendment because, as we understand it, this Court has not decided which of the two due processes are applicable to Puerto Rico, as declined in the Calero-Toledo case.
Ms. Soto, I thought the fines were imposed before the Superior Court made its final interpretation of the statute.
That is correct, before.
Justice Rehnquist, it was after.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you then. No. The fines were imposed before. I thought he said,
understanding that the determination of the Superior Court, when it, in effect, rewrote the statute, if that's what it did, that the judge did that after all these fines
yes.
had been imposed.
Yes, these four fines and the fact that we were almost denied that
well,
a license was before the trial court.
Well, then why shouldn't we proceed with the argument over what's left of the statute rather than what happened before.
These were the facts that brought the case up. Uh-huh. We will continue then. We have to, as a basic proposition, we think that by the court rewriting the statute, it has invaded legislative functions. And our main recommendation is that the statute the one that should be construed by this court.
Aren't we bound by the interpretation of the statute by the courts in Puerto Rico?
I don't think that has been decided, Justice O'Connor. I think if this court agrees to extend to Puerto Rico the court deference as if it were a state, which I think it's undecided up to this point.
But don't we know, if the action came from a state, would we not consider as binding the interpretation of the statute by the court below?
I think you would in matters of local law. However, even state deference.
Did the state cross appeal or make a cross filing here about the court's interpretation?
No. Not at all.
So shouldn't we just follow the ruling of the court below as a matter of local law?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because the state deference will not preclude this court's role as the final arbiter of the federal constitution when it needs the invalidation of a statute.
But all Justice O'Connor is asking about is as a matter of how the statute is intended to read, we have to take the word of the superior court.
Not if it clashes with the Constitution of the United States, is what
we're
saying.
But as to how broadly the statute sweeps, there we would defer to the Superior Court, wouldn't
we? If this court decides to defer, yes. I just bring the proposition because I don't think that has been decided yet. So the position was that in one case, you would go and interpret it directly yourselves. If you do give it state statute as is, it's still unconstitutional.
May I ask a question at this point? Is it correct that even after the judge rewrote the statute, it still prohibits the use of the word casino? The statute as reconstrued by the judge still prohibits the use of the word casino.
If it's addressed to the residents of Puerto Rico, everything that has to do with the casino is still prohibited. They have allowed the word of casino in the trade name
one of the incidents was being fined, as I understand it, for this press conference with the black ribbon across the slot machines and so forth, and the word casino appeared in the story. Would that fine have been imposed under the statute as reconstrued or not?
I think so, because that's precisely why I brought the example of a recent case that happened just this December, and that was after the statute was construed, whereby under this interpretation, and even after this court had granted jurisdiction or postponed jurisdiction at least until the merits, they are still construing the statute that if it's addressed to the public of Puerto Rico, it's prohibited. And here we're talking about a supplement that was in English. Here we have a market that, although Puerto Rico is a secondary market, but we have only about a fifth of the tourists that come to Puerto Rico stay in hotels. And of those that stay in hotels, only 60 or 70% stay in hotels with casinos. So our market out there in Puerto Rico of the tourists is large. And how are we going to be able to juggle how to get to the tourists without getting to the resident? And then it's going to be an intent of whether is it intended to the resident. Here is an English supplement, and we are being investigated for criminal prosecution this time, not only a fine. On the jurisdictional question, which this court would have me address, a facial attack on Section 8 was properly raised at every level of the proceeding, initially in the complaint, in paragraph 9 as stated, and throughout in the notice of appeal motion for rehearing, and the court acknowledged that in his own opinion when he said that the First, Fifth, and 14th Amendment were applicable to the question at bar. And there are no independent state grounds for dismissal expressed at least on the merits on the face of the judgment below, but rather that the court dismissed the case for lack of a substantial question, which is a decision on the merits, and therefore the decision is final and properly appealable to this court. Due to the time limitations, we will rest on our briefs on the rest of the jurisdictional question unless there is some concern of this court, and we will move on to the substantiality of the question, which we think is very substantial as it abridges first commercial speech rights. It establishes a suspect classification of casinos versus other legalized gaming. The classification is more suspect because it is a content-based classification on speech, and it has raised now that the opinion below has come out, a second classification of residents versus non-residents, in addition of intruding into core speech rights because of its overbreadth and vagueness, violating due process guarantees. The judgment below did not put to rest the issues. Therefore, we have to look into the merits of the ban itself and whether the government has met the burden that at least the central Hudson test has imposed when abridgment of first commercial speech rights are involved. The activity is constitutionally protected because gaming has been legal in Puerto Rico since 1948, and there is no suggestion on the record that the information given is false or misleading. Now, whether the government has had a substantial interest is kind of vague, because the government has advanced five substantial interests up to this point. Two in the original complaint, which was that the tourists would be protected from the patronizing of the residents of the casino, which we fail to see how that could be, and also that the Puerto Rico residents do not promote tourism and do not contribute to revenues to our economy, which is also not a serious argument, I don't think, as then we would say that income tax from state residents are not income to the Treasury. In its motion to affirm, it added that the government interest was to discourage the games of chance so that the Puerto Rican would earn his bread with the sweat of his brow. But that doesn't seem to be a substantial interest on the face that the government itself runs the state lottery, advertises it, allows, is very permissive with horse tracks, is very permissive with cockfights, all of which are highly patronized by the Puerto Ricans, while the casinos are not. At this court's level, for the first time, the tourism company brings that casino information has no value in our free market society, which is contrary to the Virginia holding and the progeny cases that followed, and that advertising will lead to excessive casino gambling with no factual basis at all on the record. These changes in substantial government really brings out the fact that it seems that the government is really fishing for a substantial interest that will uphold its own dislike of speech about gaming. But the true government goal, as read from Section 8, is a gag on a legal speaker and the election of public ignorance as a means of controlling legalized gambling. While the government has, in the Act, means that directly advance, such as minimum and maximum limits, strict supervision on a daily basis, no on-premise alcohol consumption, no minors allowed, a slot formula to avoid slot houses, criminal sanctions for violating the law, credit procedures and controls, surveillance, and now IRS reporting on the Bank Secrecy Act, other non-speech related controls, and affirmative speech programs as suggested by Justice White may be adopted by Puerto Rico that would directly advance these goals, which we are not challenging. We do not mind the strict regulation of gaming. We just don't think that speech is the proper way of doing that, without unduly burdening a franchise holder entitled to conduct its business that the government induced him into for its own economic benefit. What Puerto Rico cannot do is deter gaming by blocking information about gaming in any manner if addressed to the resident, because it is not the least restrictive means tailored to that end. The government has not met its burden, not at trial, not at argument, which is really not evidence that would substitute the trial evidence, for a departure from this court's precedent on commercial speech. It merely relied on the word of Section 8, while we introduce at least the only study that has ever been made on gaming in Puerto Rico, it's in your brief, and which proves that just the opposite. As soon as gaming was regulated in Puerto Rico, the former patronizing of the people of Puerto Rico of illegal casinos, which was 100%, dwindled off to a 5% because of the highly regulated nature of the gaming activity itself, which is what we advance. There is no substantial evidentiary ground for tourism to request or the government that this activity be placed outside of the umbrella of the Constitution together with illegal activities and together with child pornography and obscenity, because it's none of that. Gaming is legal in Puerto Rico, and there is no reason why this court should backstep 11 years in its Bigelow versus Virginia era, when truthful information about legal activity was totally suppressed or was able to be totally possessed. As a matter of principle, a prophylactic ban on protected speech must withstand at least the intermediate scrutiny of Central Hudson, which we just went through, although we prefer the view that the Constitution has made the choice of keeping the people of the United States informed as long as we are a free enterprise democracy, and Section 8 does not meet this test. We would like to keep the remaining time for rebuttal.
Ms. Sullivan, please sit down. It's of no importance, but is this the old Condado Beach Hotel or a new one?
No, it's a different one, Your Honor. It's the old San Jeronimo Hotel. It's not the Condado Beach.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the Court. The main issue here is the validity of a statute that restricts the advertising of casino gambling in Puerto Rico. And the first question that we must address is the scope of the restriction. Now, appellant is attacking here before this court the statute, the 23-word statute, not the statute as it was interpreted by the Superior Court. And of course, that is the wrong approach, because what the statute means must be determined by what the Superior Court decided that it means. And that interpretation is binding upon this court, as it has been decided by many, many precedents applicable to states, which are perfectly applicable to the Puerto Rico Supreme Court or the Commonwealth Court.
Mr. Saldana, what do you say is left of the statute? Exactly what conduct, in your view, does it now prohibit as interpreted by the Superior Court?
Yes, Your Honor. That is the precise question that must be addressed in the first instance. And what is left may be described as follows. The Superior Court said that no advertisements of casino addressed to residents of Puerto Rico would be allowed in general when published in the local media. But then it went on to make a series of exceptions, even to that general rule. It accepted, for example, advertisements which were distributed to residents if residents are clients of the hotel. Not even guests, but clients, just people who are in the hotel premises. So if residents are in the hotel premises, there's no restriction at all.
But may I ask you just on that right now?
Yes.
Supposing, could they advertise in a local newspaper?
They could. Yes, Your Honor.
They could.
They could, provided the advertisement is not addressed to residents. If the advertisement
but
is
the
addressed
newspaper,
to tourists.
Supposing you have a newspaper of general circulation in San Juan, I don't really know that. And 95% of the people who subscribe to it are local residents. If they put in just a big ad in there, come to the casino such and such hours, would that be permitted under the statute? 95% of the subscribers are local residents.
I would say that if in the advertisement, Your Honor, it is stated that this advertisement is addressed to tourists and not to residents, that is a permissible advertisement.
Even though 99% of the people who buy the newspaper are really not tourists. It's still all right as long as they put in the ad. Nobody but tourists should read this ad.
Well, nobody but tourists are invited to visit the casino, because that is what the court is prohibiting. The court is prohibiting the casino from advertising to entice residents to visit and gamble at its casino.
They don't prohibit the local residents can go if they want to.
Oh, yes, sir. There is no prohibition.
What does the advertisement say? You legally can go, but we don't want you?
No, they said they are saying you legally can go, but the demand for gambling among residents should not be stimulated artificially, should not be increased by advertisements from casinos. Now, in other jurisdictions, in the Bahamas, in Aruba and Monaco, the laws prohibit residents from going to the casinos. As Your Honor has suggested that Puerto Rico may have done. In England, for example, it is not prohibited, but advertising to local residents is prohibited. Now, the advertisements, the prohibition of local residents, the prohibition to visit or to gamble at local casinos is perfectly unworkable, Your Honor. That was why it is not prohibited in Puerto Rico, because there are no means of identifying who is a tourist that wants to come into the casino and who is a resident.
Well, in some places it is. Some places you have to show a passport.
Yes, but there's no tourists.
We don't need a passport.
Normally don't need passports in Puerto Rico, and we don't have any ID cards. You should buy the government.
There's no law that prohibits a local person from gambling in a casino in Puerto Rico.
That is right.
It's just as legal as going to church.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Saldana, what is this most recent criminal investigation that's going on concerning the Posadas that has arisen since the Superior Court interpretation?
It does not concern Posadas at all. It concerns another casino that is owned by another company, which is related to Posadas.
And for what activity is it?
The advertising appeared in a newspaper when the new San Juan Hotel was opened. And the new San Juan Hotel has a casino. And they published a 35-page supplement in a newspaper about the wonderful new casino and all of its facilities, and one of the pages was an advertisement describing in detail the gaming facilities, how many tables, gaming tables there were, what the roulettes were, what the card games available there were, and that it was the best casino in all the world. And then they published a picture.
And would it have been all right if they had added in it that local residents shouldn't read it? Then it would have been all right, in your view?
In my view, if that advertisement had been addressed to tourists exclusively, there would be no prohibition. But the point is that it was not so limited. The advertisement was addressed to everybody. Now, the court, in its interpretation, not only permitted advertising to residents if they are within the hotel premises, but permitted advertising to residents by all sorts of souvenirs, matchboxes, and other such devices, publicity devices, that freely circulate between residents or among residents. I'm sorry. The court also permitted advertisements in local magazines, which are mainly for distribution to tourists. But if the court said if they reach the hands of residents, that doesn't make them illegal. Then it excluded completely all advertising outside of the jurisdiction of Puerto Rico. That is, referring now to the question that was put by Mr. Justice Powell a while ago, an advertising that is published in the New York Times, which circulates in Puerto Rico every day. We buy it every day, and we read it, and a lot of persons read it. Not only in that was just an example, but in any magazine, like Time magazine, or Newsweek, or any other magazine in the United States.
I suppose that'd be rather expensive advertising for one community to have to advertise in a national publication in order to distribute locally, wouldn't it?
Well, it is a restriction, Your Honor. There is no, but the advertising is not restricted outside of the United States. It's not restricted to national advertising. It may be a paper or a magazine, and there are many of them, that are published mainly for Puerto Ricans in New York or Puerto Rican in the States, the Puerto Rican communities in the States. And these papers and magazines circulate in Puerto Rico. They are even written in Spanish, too. Well, those advertisements are excluded.
Wouldn't you say that the average tourist in Puerto Rico knew there was gambling before he went?
No, sir. I don't think so. There are many tourists.
Easily went.
There are many tourists that come to Puerto Rico who are not informed, other than maybe in a very general way.
Two or three.
Yeah, but no, I don't think so.
Four
I beg
or
to
five.
Differ from Your Honor. Your Honor may be thinking that most tourists come to Puerto Rico to gamble, and I would seriously doubt that is so. Further?
Tourists from the Virgin Islands go to Puerto
Rico. I have no idea, Your Honor. I know that the hotels in Puerto Rico, there are 13 gambling casinos, 10 of them in the San Juan area, and 3 of them outside. And they make quite a publicity among tourists, and they make quite a publicity in the Virgin Islands, so that they may be enticing them to come to San Juan. I agree with you, Your Honor. But the point is that this is no absolute and complete ban. It's if you take the Superior Court's interpretation, how can you say that it is an absolute ban? It's a very relative ban of advertising. It is very limited. It concerns only residents and only to residents through local media. And there is also a very general rule of interpretation made by the Superior Court. It is very important in this respect. It is that if there is any doubt as to whether an advertisement is addressed to a tourist or is addressed to a resident, then it is allowed. It is permissible. Because the court stated that the general rule would be that the advertising, which is addressed to tourists, is completely exempt from the prohibition. And therefore, I submit that this is no absolute ban, and that's what is before this court.
Mr. Saldana, may I ask you a question about procedure in Puerto Rico. As I understand it, the Supreme Court of Puerto Rico entered an order which did two things. It said that the appeal did not present a substantial constitutional question and therefore dismissed the appeal.
Yes, sir.
And then secondly, it said, considering the writ filed as a revision, it is denied. Is the writ that was denied something like our certiorari practice where they had discretion to grant or deny the writ?
Yes, Your Honor.
So to what extent, then, have they — is there a precedent? Have they adopted the reasoning of the trial court, or is it just — they just decided not to review the case?
The rejection of the appeal for lack of a substantial constitutional question is equivalent to an affirmance of the Superior Court judgment.
As to being no constitutional violation.
That is right.
But not necessarily an affirmance of its interpretation of the statute, I take it.
It is an affirmance, although it is like an affirmance by this court of a judgment when the appeal is summarily dismissed.
Right. And the judgment in this case granted no relief to the plaintiff. It just had a long opinion reconstruing the statute and then ultimately dismissed the complaint, didn't it?
It ultimately dismissed the complaint, but in its interpretation, it went a very long way.
Yes, but the judgment of the Supreme Court merely affirmed the judgment, which was dismissing the complaint. Is that right or am I wrong?
No, well, it affirmed the judgment and the reasoning. And the reasoning. Yes. The problem, you don't know, with the jurisdictional matter here, which I should perhaps have addressed first, is that this is an appeal that comes from the Supreme Court of Puerto Rico, and the validity, the record shows that the validity of the statute was not challenged at all stages of the proceedings. It was not explicitly challenged, and certainly it wasn't challenged on federal grounds, because the only mention of federal law is the one made before the Superior Court, where the appellant, the plaintiff below, referred to a claim of right regarding what he called his First Amendment rights. He did not even mention free speech, but just First Amendment rights. And he claimed that the administrative interpretation of the law infringed his First Amendment rights. Now, he did mention that there was an equal protection right involved, the equal protection right protected by the United States Constitution. Did not mention any specific clause of the Constitution whatsoever. Now, as to due process, there was no federal claim at all in the Superior Court. Then, when we come to the Supreme Court, at the Supreme Court level, there was, again, no specific claim of invalidity of the statute involved. And as to his appellant's claims of right, there was no federal equal protection right claimed. There was no federal due process right claimed. And as to the other matter involved, as to the other question tendered here for appeal, the only reference was to a right of expression protected by the Bill of Rights of the federal constitution.
Mr. Saldana, in the Superior Court's opinion, it's conclusion of Law 13. The Superior Court said that the First, Fifth, and 14th Amendments of the Constitution of the United States are applicable to the controversy.
Yes, sir.
Now, if the Superior Court passes on it, the fact that it may not have been properly raised doesn't defeat maintaining the claim here, I don't think.
No, Your Honor. But notice, Your Honor, that the Superior Court merely said that it was involved, that these clauses were involved. The Superior Court did not even pass upon these matters. And the judgment issued by the Superior Court was merely, we issue now a declaratory judgment concerning the interpretation of this statute where federal rights are involved. But the specific challenge to the validity of the statute, to the authority to enact the statute, was never made before the Superior Court and was never made before the Supreme Court either. Now, the Supreme Court appeal, we have argued, was also untimely because it was filed too late. And the reply brief that appellant has filed is very significant, in my judgment. It does not present any rebuttal of the defects that have been pointed out in the appellee's brief. It merely states, as a naked statement, that the appellee's claim was properly presented. And then it goes on to beg the indulgence of this court that the appellant was pressed for time, that the appellant decided at the very last moment to file an appeal before the Supreme Court of Puerto Rico, and that that was why it didn't make things, it didn't do properly the appeal. It didn't raise the constitutional, the federal constitutional issues as it should have done. But unfortunately for the appellant, as we all know, jurisdictional requirements cannot be dispensed with and cannot be waived. He may have a perfect excuse otherwise for not doing the right things, but if he didn't do it, then there is no jurisdiction, and that is what we claim. Now, going to the merits, I would like to state in simple terms our position. The main position of the appellees in this case is that First Amendment protection should not be extended under the commercial free speech doctrine to advertising of casino gambling. And the reasons in support of that position are, in brief, that gambling and casino gambling is an activity that is harmful to the community, that it is a vice-prone activity, and that Puerto Rico should have the power to legalize casino gambling if it believes that, for example, it is unwise or impractical to prohibit it altogether because people will gamble anyway, or because it expects to derive some economic benefit from the legalization of casino gambling. But that there should be no requirement that then Puerto Rico should allow casinos to promote and to actively advertise and market their services and their products so as to create new gamblers. And the same would apply, I would suppose, to the marijuana case that was put by Justice O'Connor. Because if a state is allowed to legalize marijuana But it is prohibited from telling people, don't advertise marijuana. Then new persons who consume marijuana will be encouraged to do it. I mean, it's not, the state will not be able to limit the legalization to what the existing demand for marijuana or gambling or casino gambling is at the time that it legalizes. Now, in our case, the situation is very, very difficult because there's no doubt that casino gambling is a very dangerous activity, that it attracts and has attracted in Nevada and Atlantic City, it has attracted the crime gangs. It has attracted organized crime and all the has provoked a host of other problems concerning law and order, including, among others, the corruption of government officials, as the APSCAM investigation showed in Atlantic City, where the senior senator, federal senator, was involved in taking bribes.
Mr. Saldana, may I ask you another question about
yes,
the
sir.
Procedure in this case? The judgment of the trial court ends with the statement, these guidelines may be amended in the future by the enforcing agency pursuant to the dictates of the changing needs and in accordance with the law and what is resolved herein. Now, I'd just like to get your views on how firmly can we rely on what the trial judge has done here as a definite rule for the future, or if he says winds up by saying the enforcing agency can change the rules.
Well, I interpret that, Your Honor, that to mean that the enforcing agency can change, can adopt new rules as to things that are not decided in the opinion. But the court was not telling the enforcing agencies, you can change my judgment, because then it would be a nullity.
But he says these guide regulations may be amended in the future.
Well, yes, I interpret that they may be amended to include new things, to make new provisions, but that the judgment it renders, the declaratory judgment, is, of course, valid and binding between appellant and the tourism company.
I see.
Now, going back to the merits, the issue here is simple. In a sense, if Puerto Rico cannot prohibit the marketing and advertising of casino gambling, then it is faced with a tremendous problem, because the experience in Nevada and Atlantic City shows that when you open up the floodgates of advertising and promotion, the casinos, the gambling casinos, take over. They take over, as in Nevada, where the principal industry is casino gambling. They take over because they exercise such a tremendous influence.
Well, why not get rid of casino gambling?
I'm sorry, I did not.
Casino gambling.
Yes. So that the only alternative would be to get rid of casino gambling. Because I believe that Puerto Rico...
You'd lose all the taxes, wouldn't you?
We would lose, Your Honor, not only the taxes, but the help that casino gambling by tourists give to the tourism industry in Puerto Rico. But I believe that it would be preferable, and I believe that Puerto Rico would find it preferable, to ban completely casino gambling rather than let them advertise without limit, and let them advertise and market and create new gamblers and create new demand and follow the pattern and the model of Nevada and Atlantic City, where it's an incessant cycle of growth for the people. They grow, they promote an increased level of demand, and then they expand, and they grow, and then they again promote the demand. And finally, what they do is that they take over the state. Well, Puerto Rico doesn't want to be another Nevada or another Atlantic City, so that if this court decides that we cannot limit advertising, the only recourse would be to prohibit casino gambling altogether.
Thank
you. Sure. Yes, Mr. Chief Justice, I would just like to rely on 2 points made by Brother Counsel. One on the jurisdictional question, it is completely meritorious, the challenge that the question was not raised properly and that it was a last-minute thought to bring a facial attack. It was brought properly. There are specific references in your record that it was brought in the complaint, in the notice of appeal, in the motion of rehearing, plus in the declaratory judgment, it particularly reads the judgment itself. We hereby declare that Section 8 of the law is not unconstitutional from its face and is sustained. There was a facial attack right from the very beginning and right on, and the constitutional by number, 1st, 5th, and 14th, recognized by the trial court as being properly raised. With regards to the merits, what is left of the judgment below opinion is unconstitutional because, as Justice Stevens very well brought out, and I had it on my notes before, couldn't cover it, this opinion is subject to change. And not only is it subject to change, it was going to be changed this year, this very year. It was going to be changed by the tourism company to include only the paragraph A, which is the proscription that that Posadas or any other gambling casino would advertise to the public in Puerto Rico without including all the other exceptions that the court had made. And it can be done at any minute because the court contemplated that possibility that as if it was regulating, as it was, certain regulatory functions, they could not take them all together from the agency, and the agency could change these regulations anytime it saw fit. So therefore, all channels of communications to the residents are still closed. They're foreclosed, and the section in the paragraph, in the article that was published, which, by the way, it is the same company that manages both hotels, Posadas Hotel and the El San Juan Hotel, proves that the content of this article is not enticing the people to come and gamble to Puerto in the casinos, and it is not paid publicity, which is what the judge held. It's an article covering all sorts of things, including job opportunities and the people that we want to employ and where do we recruit them.
Yes,
and
but this that's not in the record, is it, Minnesota? That's not in the record before us, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, is that in the record?
It is on the record. It is particularly, it's Appendix D in our reply brief.
It's in your reply brief, but it was not in the record before the trial court because it didn't happen before.
No, it didn't happen before. It happened after. It was duly authenticated, the signature of the Secretary of Justice through the Department of State and brought properly under Rule 201.
May I ask you just one more question that puzzles me about the record? What is all this business about the use of jackets by men, and what was that?
That was a collateral question that arose while the case was being tried by the judge, whereby they required a jacket to go into the casinos to the men while they didn't require proper attire for women, and the court found that it was unconstitutional. And since it has been changed, the regulations have been adopted, flexibilizing the dress code.
Was that a challenge that your client had made against?
We hadn't made a claim, but the court became aware of it and thought it was unconstitutional and decided
sort of
to rule on it, too.
Okay.
Yes. The problem that still exists with the statute as construed, in addition that it can be changed, is that it subjects a casino franchise holder to self-censorship all the time. Plus, when it finally does advertise, that advertisement is going to be judged on content. I think either one position violates the Constitution, and for such reason, we request that this court strikes down under Section 1258B, which is properly raised on appeal, this case, the decision below. We feel that the Yukon Eng rationale, although it's an old case, is still valid. It has been recently and approvingly cited in Matthews versus Heckler, whereby this court entertained directly to evaluate the section challenge and struck it down as we think this one should be. Thank you.
Counsel, the case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next in.